From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message entitled, The Features of the Model Prayer, part of this series setting forth Christ's own instructions regarding true prayer as embodied in the Lord's Prayer. Implicit in the wording of the prayer is the manner of our address to God, for He is holy and far above us. Another feature involves the answers we are seeking from Him. Finally, there is the assurance we express in prayer. We come in confidence that God does indeed hear and will answer, based on His own immutable and glorious character. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message shortly. First, however, he invites attention to a vital question. Where is the world headed?
Sometimes we hear someone jokingly say, "Stop the world, I want to get off." But behind the humor lies a disturbing thought. Everywhere people are concerned. Where are we headed for? What's happening in the country? What's happening in the world? Where is all this leading? Daniel the prophet had the same concern when, having received his great prophetic visions, he wondered, what shall the end of these things be? Now, the Bible not only asks the question, the Bible also gives the answer. I'm not today going to go into a course on prophecy. I'm not going to deal with what the Bible says about various great events toward the end of the age. That's for another occasion. But the Bible does say, and this is where all things are headed, that God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. The Bible is unequivocal about this. The world is headed for D-Day, D for destiny. It is headed for a meeting with God, its judge. It is headed toward that day when God will judge the world, not as men judge it, not as human judges judge it, not according to the fallacies and the illogicalities of human thinking, but according to His own absolute and perfect righteousness. God will judge the world in righteousness, and He will judge it by Jesus Christ. That is, for me, an amazing, or should I say an alarming statement when I consider sinners who have heard about Christ, they've read about Christ, yet they dismiss Him, they despise Him, they reject Him, or if they do anything better, they simply pay lip service to Him. They get on with the real business of life. But one day, and very soon, they're going to be judged by Him in righteousness, by Jesus Christ. How do I know that? God has given assurance of it because He raised Christ from the dead. Let's be clear about this. The world is headed for judgment. You're headed for judgment. We must all stand before the judge. After death, the judgment. That's what the Bible says. Are you ready to stand before God? You may have religion, but you know when sorrow hits, when trouble comes, when conscience pricks, your religion can't stand up to that scrutiny. Will it stand up to the judgment of God? Are you ready to stand before God? Would you be ready if He called you into eternity right now, at a moment's notice? Would you now be ready to meet your God? The only way to be ready to meet God is to be in Christ. You know, when there's a fire blazing, a forest fire, and, say, homes are in danger, one way of seeking to secure them is to burn a huge swathe of land with all that's in it. And then, hopefully, the fire will stop, because the fire doesn't burn where it has already burned. Now, I tell you, the wrath of God has already met Christ. He has borne it on Calvary. You get to where the fire has burned. You get into Christ, and you'll find that you'll find justification and acceptance with God, and you will be ready to meet your judge.
Mine eyes have seen my salvation. My heart has been cleansed by thy grace. I rejoice at the God of creation would die on the cross in my place. Oh, how good a sinner, unworthy of all, find a place in my heart. My eyes have seen thy salvation. How wondrous and precious thou art.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 1-800-236-2915. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Men and women, let me tell you, that's the ambition we must have. Not just to get this and that from God, but to fellowship with God as children with their Father. To enjoy days of heaven upon the earth. Do you get those first three petitions? I believe that that little phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, will govern the first three petitions entirely. What the Savior's telling us to pray, is that while we're on this earth, with all its imperfection, with all its sin, with all its challenges, with all its needs, with all its failures, with all the pain and the suffering and the tears and the agony, yet with fellowship with God, we may know days of heaven upon the earth. What an ambition. Heaven and earth. Living in the heavenlies. Even while we're living on earth. We're positioned there. But oh, that we may actually enjoy it. The ambition is to witness a mighty manifestation of God's power to further His kingdom, to defeat His enemies. The ambition is that we would be brought to a place where our character and our experience are true expressions of our position in Christ. Now, these are the things that we have as the deep ambitions of our heart when we pray. Can I point out the fifth thing that the pattern prayer teaches us? It's about the address that we employ in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, there are two things about that that must mark our approach to God. First, peculiar intimacy, our Father. And second, deep humility, which art in heaven. Those two things are married. As Paul says in Romans 8, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You've probably heard it many times. The Abba is the word for Father that belongs to the child, not to a servant. We've often been told that it is the very close family name. It's what the child would say. The little one would lisp. Abba. Father. Well, that's true. But don't be misled by it. Because the Abba, certainly in that society in those days, would still have been held in great regard, respect, reverence, and fear. I heard a charismatic idiot. I say idiot because I don't want to use a stronger word. Certainly a charlatan. On the basis of that, speaking to the God of heaven as Pop. I want to tell you, I wonder if anybody can talk to God in those terms and know God at all. There is intimacy. But remember what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:17, if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the head, the summation of wisdom. Humility and intimacy go hand in hand. Never forget, when you address God, it is God you address. It is God. Who was closer to God than His own solely begotten Son? None. Did you ever notice how Jesus prayed? Holy Father. That's how He prayed. Holy Father! None of this flippant wicked, worldly, so-called intimacy that is not intimacy at all, but an insult to the God of glory. Then the Savior shows us the answers we entreat when we pray. These petitions, as I pointed out last week, cover the widest range of desire and need. Broadly, we can say we lift up our spiritual needs, our zeal for the Lord's name, the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's will. Then our zeal for our own personal sanctification. We ask that we may walk in company with the Lord and be kept from anything that would lead us away from Him or grieve His Spirit. We want constantly to be delivered from all evil. What are we doing? We're lifting up our spiritual concerns. But we also lift up our temporal needs. We're asking for daily bread. And indeed for every physical need. Now those are the things we're asking for. For the things that concern God's kingdom. For the things that concern His purpose in the world. For the things that concern our personal sanctification and development and holiness, our walk with God, our experience of grace, for our physical, temporal needs. My, this is a prayer then that takes in all these many subjects. What is the Savior saying to us? He's saying, look, when you come to pray, there are answers from God for you in every one of these areas. True prayer will entreat answers in them all. And then, of course, finally, the Savior teaches us that about true prayer and the assurance we express in that prayer. I like the way this prayer ends. That tells me, you know, that this is the note on which to end prayer. There are times now, but they're not too many. There are times in the book of Psalms when the psalmist ends on a down note. And I think we can be grateful to God that He has left them there, because that shows us that even inspired men of God were only men for all that. And it reminds us that when we get up from our knees sometimes and we're just as down as when we started to pray, that we're not the first people to be that way. But listen, the very fewness of those occasions in the book of Psalms will remind you that should be the exception and not the rule. When the Savior starts praying here, He says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. How does He finish? For Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power, Thine is the glory, forever. Amen. And I feel every time I pray that I should add a hallelujah. You see, here's the high note of assurance. The Savior has brought us through all the circumstances, all the needs, all the desires, all the deep pitfalls that we may face. All the enmity of the devil. He's let us face all these things in prayer. He said, now you've brought them to God. He's on the throne. He's able to answer prayer. Take your burden to the Lord and do what? Leave it there. Don't get up with it again. Don't pray about it and then get up as if God were not King of glory. Don't pray about it and then get up as if you had to bear it all yourself. Remember, He's on the throne. This is the assurance. Here's why we pray. We pray in faith. As I'll be pointing out in our continuing study of John Knox's treatise on prayer on Wednesday evenings, we pray in faith, not in desperation. True prayer is not a cry of desperation. True prayer is a cry of faith. It sees the difficulties. It traverses the veil of tears. But it comes to the throne. It sees the glory of God. It says, Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Hear them is the pattern for all our praying. Here are the things that should be present in every true prayer. I trust indeed that they will be present in your praying. I trust that they'll be present in mine. I come back to the request of the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus says, here's the answer. Here's the answer. All that God has to teach you, you'll find here. Here's how to pray. May God make us good students, good learners, good practitioners of what the Savior teaches us in this pattern for all our praying.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.